Shalom, Chevarim. Now, back to Ezekiel's 38th and 39th chapters, in which our current theme is embedded. Here is a crucial drama, the character and magnitude of which defy all merely human power of description or apprehension. A sudden attack with whirlwind violence by a mighty confederacy upon a small and comparatively defenseless nation is an appalling crime. But when such a spectacular monstrosity is immediately followed by an equally sudden divine inburst in indignant intervention and interposition into human affairs, the word spectacular is no longer adequate to describe the phenomenon, particularly when attended by unmistakable judgmental manifestations of the most severe and awe-inspiring quality. As we face our subject, let us remark the source, the sequence, the scene, the scale, and the season of this mighty movement. Something in the nature of the blithe tranquility of Beethoven's Pastoral Symphony would be an apt introduction. Israel is at rest in the Promised Land. Israel is reasonably prosperous. Israel is minding his own business. The Israel sky is cloudless. But a vicious storm is brewing. Follow the divinely enlightened eyes of Ezekiel, and we shall observe its source. For God, through his prophet, addresses Gog in these terms: "And thou, Gog, shall come from thy place, out of the uttermost parts of the north." Yes, the north is the prophesied source of restored Israel's peril. Glance at the map. Look into a land far north of Israel. That is Gog's place. That is the habitat of Israel's arch enemy. That is the grotto of the grisly Gog. The uttermost part of the north is the source of the violent storm that threatens Israel's hard-won tranquility. Now, observe the sequence. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land. At this juncture, I find it advisable to remind you of a previous message in this series, to which I gave the subtitle, The Canon of Double Sense, and in which I drew your attention to a proven principle of prophetic interpretation, in which it is recognized that, where divine predictive prophecy is concerned, a first historic accomplishment, chronologically nearer the prophet's time, employs some of the terms and properties of the ultimate total prediction, without necessarily absorbing or exhausting them, but leaves the prophetic total itself to an occasion chronologically more remote. Thus, the earlier historic movement becomes married to the initial predictive prophecy preceding it, to combine with it in forming an even more formidable attestation and assurance of full historic fulfillment of the total content of the prediction in the more remote occasion. If this dictum is too involved for you to grasp in a single hearing, and I suspect it will be, why don't you take the opportunity of securing transcriptions of my messages? They are available to you upon application to me. I feel it therefore now competent for me to proceed by suggesting to you that, in the prediction immediately before us, the prophet employs language which not only fits the times in which he himself lived, but which is equally capable of perfect adaptation to our current generation. Listen again to these words addressed to Gog. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land. Ponder this language for a moment. Think upon it. What does it suggest to our modern mind? Is it not the language of the skies? The more I turn these suggestive words over in my mind, the more I seem to hear the very roar of aeroplane engines, and to behold the skies above clouded over with squadron upon squadron of aircraft, overshadowing the land beneath like some sinister umbrella, clouding out the light and life above it. Did the prophet himself realize the aptness and adequacy of his language to our modern times? Did the divine mind who inspired the prophet's language share with his prophet the full possible content and implication of his words? I know not, but be that as it may, we must admit that the language is apt and adequate to such a modern movement as a sudden air attack implies. Let us clearly note that the prophet does not predict that Gog will launch an air invasion of Israel, nor do I venture to incur the prophet's displeasure by asserting that he did say so. Ezekiel merely predicts the invasion, and I merely suggest that his language conjures modern thoughts of aerial activity, so that if the invasion did comprehend in part that character, we would not be doing any violence to Ezekiel's language. Having said all this, I am not discounting the possibility of modern aviation being well within ancient predictive prophecy, for I am aware of the amazing words of the prophet Yeshayahu, Isaiah, as recorded in the 60th chapter and 8th verse of the divine book bearing his name. Listen to these striking words. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves? Do you not think it exceptional that the prophet, speaking thousands of years ago, should have associated the personal pronoun who with aerial activity resembling that of clouds and doves? Such an association is surely noteworthy. The scene of the impending storm burst next claims our attention. Of course, we are already aware that the land of Israel is to be the scene of the strife. But I want to invite your attention to something that the same scripture says of this land and its inhabitants. Will you listen carefully? Thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come up against my people Israel, and I will bring thee against my land, that the nations may know me, when I shall be sanctified through thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Here is another personal pronoun that is worthy of your intent observation. My people Israel, my land. Yes, indeed, God's people and God's land. In a sense, then, Gog invades God. It is an invasion of God's land and God's people. My friends, there can be only one outcome to such a folly: divine retribution. The rolling ages of history testify that every individual and every nation that has raised a hand against God's people, the Jewish people, have come, sooner or later, under the condign punishment of the Almighty God of Israel. As we follow in succeeding messages Ezekiel's prophetic drama, we will discover that Gog, like Hitler, is to be no exception to this divine dispensation. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Yarei Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai panav elecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.